Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth, and we are so happy to have Tina Fulch on the line. She is a Hastings City Council member, and she is here to recap the October 5th meeting. Really nice to chat with you. How are you today?
I am doing great. Thank you, Mo, for having me. It's always a pleasure to do this. It's a gorgeous day. Lots to look forward to this fall.
Absolutely. So lots of things I know were discussed at the Hastings City Council meeting on the 5th, but there really were probably three major topics. Do you want to get into them, please?
Sure. Well, to kick it off, we talked again about that new development of 116 homes that's going to be going in just on the west side of General Sieben Drive over by the C's Church. So that's being called the Sieben Ridge development. At our last council meeting 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that we had a discussion about this, which was more at length. And at that time, what we were doing is we were changing the zoning of that parcel of land. It had just been incorporated into the city. And so this go around, we actually approved the preliminary plat drawings and the preliminary grading for the project so that it can start to move forward.
Get people caught up to speed, please. Is it one developer? How does it shake out?
Sure. Well, you know, for those of us who have been around town know that, you know, the Bowers own a lot of the land that's over in that area. That land is actually owned by Rosilla and Walter Bower. It's their trust. And it's being developed by TC Land. And so the developer was Mark Gunther. So they are actually developing, it's technically almost 40 acres that is just, you know, west of General Sieben Drive there. And right now it's all just, you know, fields. But it's rather close to the mining pits, the gravel pits that are back there. And so one of the big, you know, concerns that has come up during council discussions, and then also from, you know, existing residents who live there, you know, along those cul-de-sacs that are nearby, is, you know, the blasting, you know, that occurs periodically within the mines. Something that was worked out with staff is that when people go to purchase those parcels of land to build a house on them, there will be in their packet, purchase agreement packet, there will be a disclosure statement in there so to, you know, ensure that folks have been given legal notice about, you know, the chance that there's the blasting and the extra noise and such that occurs in that area. So yeah, I'm glad that that was placed in, you know, negotiated in there with staff, and, you know, and let's just hope that, you know, that development has a good experience moving forward. There was a note within the council write up, you know, something to the effect about where they thought if they started putting, you know, basements into the ground, that would actually hopefully take away some of the shock, the blast shock that ripples through the ground in that area. And so I guess we'll just have to wait and see how that looks.
Tina, have you been to that area when there have supposedly been these blasts going on?
No, you know, I haven't been present to actually hear one take place. You know, I live on the east side of Highway 61, so I'm pretty removed. But when I was running in 2018 for the House, I, you know, door knocked all over the community, and I did stop and I door knocked those cul-de-sacs there, those courtyards, and talked to a few of the residents, you know, and asked, you know, what are your main concerns? And it was interesting. Their main concerns were, yeah, the shocks that come from those blasts and how some of them, you know, really feel it considerably. You know, it shakes their walls and it shakes things off their walls sometimes. And they had concerns about, you know, foundation cracking and things of that nature. And so it's my understanding that there have been some seismic barometers or, you know, equipment that's been installed to actually measure what is going on in those cul-de-sacs. So moving forward, I think that they're going to be a little bit more aware of what the impacts are of the blasting. And it was interesting to hear that Mr. Gunther, when he was speaking with the council, he talked a little bit about how the mining pit actually is regulated, and they do have to monitor the seismic activity that's generated from those blasts as they occur.
So I don't know enough about that facility in particular, but does it come to the end of its life cycle, meaning have they, will somewhere down the line they have mined out everything they could and then it will be quiet and they'll move someplace else?
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Okay.
And our council writers, it said that, yeah, that there is still, you know, considerable amount of life expectancy, you know, of material that can be taken out of that mine. And so it's my understanding that no time in the near future, you know, in the next 10 years, will there be any ceasing of activity that takes place there. It was interesting. Mr. Gunther had said that it was thought that they actually only detonated blasts several times a year. But, you know, talking to the residents, it sounded like they were hearing commotion more often than that. So I'm not exactly sure as to, you know, exactly what the documented amount of blasting and rumbling and all of that that occurs within the area. But it does sound like it's enough that it's a major concern for folks that do live in that area.
So that mine is in between Jacob Avenue and General Sebin Drive, about halfway up in between, let's say, where the Catholic Church is and the river. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, very good.
Yep. Okay. So just to give people an idea of where that is, so there's 40 acres of land right next to that that would be starting to be developed. And what is the timing of that? Because there was some talk about kind of speeding that process along.
Yeah, I was surprised. It sounded like they wanted to start getting a jump on the grading of the land. And so we didn't actually approve the final plot for the development, but we did give the go-ahead for the preliminary grading so they can get going on that in the next 2 weeks. And so, yeah, they're going to be breaking ground awfully fast here. And then at the next council meeting in a couple of weeks, then that's when the final plat is scheduled to come before the council for final approvals. There was just a couple little issues that it sounded like that the staff were working out with the developers in regards to site grading and ponding, things of that nature.
So as the developer, is he also the builder, or then does he go out and find other builders?
You know what? I didn't ask that question. It's a good one. I did ask, was their intention to build the houses and then sell them, or was it that they were going to sell the parcels for houses to be built? And it sounded like it was the latter, where they were going to actually put the parcels of land up for sale, but I don't remember within our discussions if we talked about who specifically would be building the houses.
And are they all single family? What do the houses look like?
Yeah, well, again, we haven't been given, you know, the final design, which usually has more of that kind of level of detail about what the homes may look like. And so, yeah, but they are supposed to be single family homes, and they look like decent sized parcels, you know, individually, and so it looks like it's going to be a beautiful neighborhood when they're all done with it. Yep.
So let's talk about the other thing that was big on your agenda on the October 5th meeting, and that was the site plan redevelopment of a parcel of land at 19th and Vermilion, and I think most people in Hastings would know it as the former O'Connor Plumbing and Crans, I think
yeah,
it was before. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yes, exactly. It was the 1 hour heating and cooling as the last business, official business that was in that building. It's the white structure. It's right on a large parking lot area and next to the Coliseum across from the Arden Hills semi-trailer lot there. And yeah, that's been sitting empty now for, geez, must it be at least 4 years, if I was to guess off the top of my head how long that building has been vacant. And we're just excited again, you know, to see local business, you know, purchase it. It was actually Larry and Susan Shlomka that is buying it. And so what their intentions are, I mean, if you look at the building, you'll notice that there's a smaller building in the front and then there's a larger building in the back. And so what they were proposing is that they're going to demolish the rear building and then revitalize the front building and build on what it looked like a large garage on the back side of it. So the front building will be utilized as a Coldwell Banker Burnett real estate office. It was mentioned that Susan Shlomka is actually a realtor, she works for Coldwell Banker herself. And so that front office will be used for those purposes. And then the rear will be used for Shlomka's trucks and such and storage for that second business. And so we're just glad to see, you know, that revitalization, you know, of a current parcel being used. You know, the city has gone through in the last few years in regards to hoping to have more development along the Vermilion Street corridor. And so this is, you know, a very welcome update to that existing area. Again, you know, folks are always welcome to go to the City of Hastings website. And if you look under, you know, it's one of the very first choices. It's under, you know, City Council. And then you can follow the links to City Council meetings. And that will bring you, there's a link to get over to these folders. And you can click on the appropriate meetings. And you can click in that folder and open her up. And then you can see all the items that were on the agenda. And you could just drop down to this site plan approval for 1904 Vermilion Street, and there you could see the new building design and what they're hoping that it'll look like when it is finished. That's always true of any of these particular projects that we're discussing, Mo.
So then the last thing that your group talked about was the CARES Act funding. And for people that don't know exactly what that is, can you go back to the very beginning with what it is, how it's been used so far and distributed, and what last night's discussion was about?
Sure, Mo. Well, just as a reminder, so the CARES Act, that was actually money that was appropriated out of Congress, so at the federal level, and then it came down to the state of Minnesota, you know, Minnesota's portion. City of Hastings received $1.7 million, and so that funding is to be used for eligible expenses that are defined within the CARES Act, but mostly it's just, you know, funding for responding to the COVID-19 public health emergency. There's lots of ways you can use, you know, the money depending on, you know, what kind of governmental entity you are. There were just like three high-level criteria. First, it had to be a necessary expenditure that was incurred due to that, you know, the COVID emergency. Secondly, that it wasn't accounted for in the budget. And then finally, the money has to be for expenses that occurred between March 1st of 2020, and then we only have until November 15th to spend the money. And so for the last several months, we've had lots of conversations and identifying what are the needs of our community. And so it's been quite the experience out of the last several months. And so again, real quick, some of the things that, you know, we have done is we provided $500,000 of support to our business community through HEART grants. They are small little $5,000 grants that we made available to our business community for small businesses. And then we earmarked an additional $250,000, which supplemented the county's program for small businesses. And then we've been, you know, helping out our downtown by closing down Second Street, you know, that first block there, so that they can have outside patios. Other things that we've done is right now we're releasing a $50,000 pot of funding just specifically for our nonprofits in town. Surprisingly, all of those small business grants up to date haven't been made available for nonprofit entities. And so we're hoping that this will give the opportunity for, you know, small nonprofits, including our churches, that if they've had expenses, you know, due to COVID, or particularly the ones that have been doing human services related activities and helping with food distribution or helping folks with shelter and things of that nature, that they get highest priority. And so those are currently out. United Way is actually going to be administering those funds and helping to, you know, sort through the grant process for us. So more to come on that. And so something else we did was identify three large nonprofits in town, and we gave them each a $50,000 grant allocation, again, because they hadn't been eligible for other grant opportunities. And so that was our Business Chamber of Commerce, the Hastings Family Service, and then also our Hastings YMCA. And then so something else that the city can use the money for is obviously expenditures that are necessary for our police department, our fire department, payroll expenses, and then also other expenses for staff who aren't emergency medical services that have been dedicated. Like, for instance, we have an awesome community development director. His name is John Hinsman. He's put a lot of time and effort into, you know, supporting our business community. And so altogether, up until our meeting last night, the city had about $450,000 worth of payroll expenditures alone, not including all of the, you know, equipment requests and facility modifications that needed to be made and things of that nature. And so what we were looking at was we had a remaining $281,000 that wasn't allocated as of yet. And so the discussion was about what is that we wanted to do with that additional $281,000. Like I said, we have to expend it by November 15th, and so we're really getting down to the wire. We only have about 6 weeks left. In the end, we decided to certify those funds for use of the emergency medical services for payroll-related expenses. School district administrator had initially made a request of $300,000 of the city council, which he withdrew when all the school districts in Dakota County decided to go to the county and ask. So our school district had asked the county for $734,000 worth of assistance with their CARES funding, and so it doesn't sound like that the county is going to fulfill that entire amount. And so I myself and Councilmember Liefeld had a hope that we could at least take into consideration at least helping with some of that gap funding just a little bit, but we were defeated. So it was all going to be used for covering payroll expenses in the end.
Thank you so much for recapping the latest City Council meeting. City Council Member Tina Fulch, and you can be reached, Tina, how, please?
Sure. Folks can always give me a call on my cell phone. My cell phone number is 651-304-0652. So thanks again, Mo, for having me. This is always a delight.
Thank you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.